Hey, this is Steve from Youth Ministry Sherpas. If you're listening to this before March 15th, we want to tell you about our contest. We're giving away a Sherpas prize pack valued at $50. To enter, just go to our website, youthministrysherpas.com, and sign up for our email list. We're not going to spam you. We just want to keep our listeners in the loop about upcoming episodes and other important announcements. When you sign up, you can also download our free resource, 6 Images of the Youth Worker. It's a training tool we use with our volunteers. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page to join the discussion. Thanks for helping us help youth workers to keep going. Now, here's today's episode.
Hi, this is Brian Doyle with the International Sports Federation and Global Serve, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we're back, episode 4, Youth Ministry Sherpas.
Helping youth workers to keep going. Hey everyone, my name is Matthew McCabe.
I'm Steve Anderson. Thanks for joining us. So this is part two of the two-part series we're doing on things you cannot change in student ministry. Last episode, we talked about people wandering away.
Wandering away from their faith, wandering away from student ministry, or wandering away from your church in general.
Yeah. And the takeaways that we hope you receive from that are just to not take it personally. It's probably not your fault.
Right, it's really about the bigger story of what God is doing in their lives, and we played a role in it, but we didn't own the role. We weren't the whole role.
So trusting God in that process, and just realizing it's not about us.
Yeah, absolutely. And so today we shift into talking about priorities and talk about top priorities versus bottom priorities. Steve, has anybody ever come to you and asked you to do something that's like super important to them, but really you just don't care that much about it?
Yeah. The senior pastor.
No. That's awkward.
Yeah. It's one of my biggest pet peeves is when I'm really busy and I have all these things to do, and then there's someone who wants something from me, and it's just really low in my priority list. It's like number 715. And they're all about it, and I just don't really care. It just drives me nuts.
Yep.
I don't care about.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, for me, I know I can feel guilty myself, and this is probably just mostly on me, but I'm involved as a volunteer coach at a local high school. It's through FCA. It's a character coaching program. Love it. Absolutely love it. Love the school, love the coaches, love the players. I love being involved, but it's one of many, many things that I do.
Right.
Not my top priority. It's just on my list.
And you don't get paid for it.
I don't get paid for it. It's volunteer. And so I have limitations at how much time I can give to that.
Yeah.
But I'm doing that in the midst of coaches who really this is their life work. They teach so that they can coach.
Right.
So this is their top priority. And so they're willing to sacrifice everything. They want to tack an extra hour onto practice, no big thing for them because they want to be there. And I get frustrated because it's like, oh, I got to get home. I've been at church all day. I haven't seen my family. And so I can feel guilty that they have this top priority, but it's not my priority.
Yeah.
I don't get that from them necessarily,
okay. But
it's an internal thing for me where I feel like, oh, this is awkward because I'm in the midst of somebody whose top priority is this and it's not mine. And there's just It's a little weird.
Yeah.
So
that translates into student ministry pretty easily, right? Because the people in our ministries are probably feeling like you feel as a volunteer coach for the football team.
It's quite possible because, our top priority is student ministry.
Absolutely.
This is our life's work. This is what we've given everything to.
Yep.
And we've given up all kinds of things to do this thing.
We love this. We're passionate about this.
We have a group of people, actually three groups of people, that we're dependent on in order to make this happen.
And that's the thing about ministry is it's based on people choosing to participate, right? It's a volunteer thing. People don't get paid to come to youth group or to go to church. It's all about inspiring them and welcoming them when they do choose to show up.
Right. So we got students. Students are that first group of people. Without students, we don't have a student ministry.
That's right.
And
we have parents.
Very dependent on them.
Absolutely. They have to drive their kids to church.
And pay money for them to go on retreats and do other things that we want them to do.
They control their schedule in many cases.
And then we have volunteers.
Yeah.
Volunteers. We need volunteers to run a ministry.
That's right.
And again, all of these people, chances are, for the vast majority of them, student ministry is not their top priority. Not in the way that it is our top priority.
Yeah. So we have to figure out how to work with that. How do we handle that in a way that's gracious and get the most out of the ministry and encourage and challenge people and love them and move them along towards Jesus? It's a pretty big issue.
It's challenging. Let's talk about students first.
Okay.
Students.
Yeah. So when you think about students, the first thing that comes to mind for me is that they are on a spiritual journey. They are not completed, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Therefore, this isn't going to be their number one priority. Youth ministry is not going to be, for most of them, the number one thing that they do. I think back to when I was in high school, the things that I was thinking about then, mostly girls, frankly. And whether I could get a date this Friday night, or what my friends were going to do this weekend, or maybe the sport that I was playing, like that was my life. Every now and then, a little spark of spiritual interest would pop up, and I'd be all about that for a day, you know?
Yeah.
And that was good.
Exactly.
But by and large, youth ministry wasn't my life. How about you?
Yeah, for me, my experience was a little bit different. I don't know if it came down to spiritual interest. I mean, it was. I did. I got saved as a freshman in high school, and so it was pretty new. So there was a desire and a passion there. But I just kind of became a youth group junkie. So, like, all I thought about was going to youth group, being a part of youth group. And so that was a different experience for me. But
it was your social world.
It was my social world. But even in the midst of that, I was 15 and 16 years old. And so there were times that I chose cross country or you know, other school activities over a youth group activity. And so I get that, you know, I understand that. And so that's where the challenge comes in is, you know, here I am 35 some years later, where youth group is my top priority because it's my life's work. And I'm working with students who often choose cross country.
So as you think about the students in your group, you know, what kinds of things are taking their priorities in? How are you dealing with that as a youth worker?
Well, I mean, one of the first things that comes to mind is sports.
Yeah.
I mean, sports is dominating our culture in America these days. And it's not just, you know, it used to be just the high school sports, but now it's club sports and travel sports and all this kind of stuff. And it can get frustrating, you know, where these kids will give so much effort to a sport.
Absolutely.
And zero, not zero, but like minimal effort towards connecting or being a part of the student ministry.
Yeah,
it's hard to watch.
We're number 19 on their priority list.
Right.
And we know better. We know what is really going to serve them well for their future, their character, their relationship with Christ. But they don't see it that way.
They don't see
they're
it
not
that
going
way.
To because they're 15.
Right, exactly. And it's hard. You know, you could, on some levels, you can understand, like, okay, you love football or you love soccer, and so you play on the soccer team. Okay, and there's going to be conflicts. I get that. But it's that student that is on six soccer teams.
Right.
You know, because it's going to just pave a way for a life of in the MLS, you know. And we just know that's not going to happen.
Right.
And so they're sacrificing things that, again, just like you said, we know will serve them way better down the road than that sixth soccer team would. Like, just be on two soccer teams and come to youth group a couple of times. You know, that would be great.
Yeah.
But again, that's where that frustration comes in. But it's more than sports.
Yeah, it is. There's music, academics, relationships are a big one, you know, family, different family situations and commitments. There's all kinds of things that affect the students and just take their priorities and flip them upside down and take them away from church.
And again, it's when I stop and think, why am I surprised that someone who doesn't really have a ginormous spiritual interest at this point in time in their journey? They have some. It's there, but it's certainly not. Why am I surprised that they're choosing to go out with their friends on Friday night instead of coming to the fifth quarter that I planned? I shouldn't be surprised by that, but I am. And not only surprised, oftentimes frustrated.
Absolutely. The same goes with parents and families.
Actually, sometimes I think it's worse with parents.
Yeah, because there's parents who the parents often don't make the youth ministry and the church their first priority either, and that can be really frustrating.
It can be more frustrating because we can sort of take a student and say, oh, they're 15, 16. They don't have the perspective on what would be more important. It's harder to look at a 45-year-old who's also making the decision to put their kid on the sixth soccer team because they're sure it's going to pave the way for their future. And that gets a little harder because you think, really?
Yeah. But when you think about all the things that are affecting the families, people's jobs, their health situations, their extended family. Like, we're going through a thing this year in our family with my wife's parents and my parents, and just the needs of that is very demanding on a family, and it just changes your priorities. It changes the time that you have to give to different things. We have a lot of families in our church who both parents are working and they're commuting down to DC. They may be driving an hour each way every day. And by the weekend, they're fried. They're exhausted. Their kids are out every night of the week in activities. They're rushing home to get the concert or the game. And come Sunday, we're lucky if they come to church. And if they do, we're especially lucky if they come back Sunday night for youth group with their and drive another 40-minute round trip to bring their kid.
Absolutely. I remember for a long time, I wanted to just beat parents over the head, because when I first started at Cedarbrook, this is, you know, 14 years ago. So my kids were little at the time. So they weren't involved in lots of activities. You know, it was just a lot of home stuff. And that presented its own challenges. But we weren't running around like crazy with activities. And I would talk to parents and be like, hey, man, you know, we missed Susie on Sunday night. And yeah, oh, and they'd spin this tale like, yeah, boy, whew, Sunday's just tough. You know, we get home from church and we, you know, put on our slippers and our pajamas and, God, we just didn't want to get in the car and drive them out, and especially didn't want to come out at 8:30 and pick them up. And I used to just rip my hair out going, like, what's wrong with these people? Well, fast forward, you know, 12 years, and I've got four teenagers, and they're involved in multiple sports and multiple choirs and bands and all this stuff. And
your kids are getting up at 4:30 to go to swim.
Swim practice at 4:30 this morning. And so, honestly, when it came time to go to work this morning, I didn't want to go to work, but I did because it's my job. But if it was an optional thing, I might have tapped out because I was exhausted. And so I'm able to kind of see that other side now.
Absolutely.
And again, I don't think that means we don't challenge that.
Right.
Come on, put a pair of sneakers on and drive them to youth group. You can do it. I think we need to challenge that, but we also need to temper that. In other words, I don't want to clock them over the head anymore.
Yeah.
Because I get it.
We need to put their shoes on our feet and begin to understand them a little bit.
Yeah. So that's tough.
The third category is the volunteers. And they might be parents, they might be young adults, singles, they could be grandparents, it could be any age group. But they have different priorities too. This is not their life's work. They're not getting paid for this. And they may have different priorities at times than we have.
Yep. And what can make it hard is I'm guessing you probably have a volunteer or two who actually this is one of their top priorities.
Yeah, I have one of those. Yeah.
They're the superstars. They come out all the time. They're there. They live for this. They breathe for this. And it's great, which also then just makes that stark contrast to that other volunteer who texts you 15 minutes before group, hey, been a real long day. I just don't think I can get out tonight. And what do you say to that? You have to say,
It's tough.
I understand, but yet you're frustrated.
Yeah. This year we have three leaders with our junior girls, and I just don't understand what their problem is. I mean, one of them had a baby. One of them is trying to get pregnant.
The nerve of them.
The nerve. And the third one has two little kids. She's young as it is. She's only 23 or 24. And they just bought a new house. And then they don't come to youth group. What is wrong with these people, Matthew?
They have other things to do, Steve.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
No, but that's the reality.
Yeah, it is. And I love all three of them, and I'm making fun of them here.
And I'm sure that they bring vital things to
absolutely,
your group.
Absolutely. They're great people, and it's really important to treat them with gentleness and kindness and understand the situation that they're in this stage of their life and give them some grace in that.
Right. And that's kind of the importance of talking about this, because with all three of these categories, the students, the parents, and the volunteers, it can be hard. It can be frustrating. Yeah. And if we're going to keep going in student ministry, if we're going to stick around for the long haul, if we're not going to get so frustrated we tap out, we got to figure out how to deal with this reality, this thing that we cannot change. Because we can talk till we're blue in the face, Steve, and it's just not going to change.
So the first thing that we thought of is just to put ourselves in their shoes. I mean, it sounds like such a Christian cliche, you know, walk a mile in their shoes or whatever. I guess that's not a Christian cliche. That sounds like an Indian cliche.
But it's out there. But that's the reality, Steve. I'm going back to what we started with when you were talking about you saying that, like, one of your pet peeves is when somebody comes to you and it's their passion and they're all about it, and it's not your top passion. That can be annoying. I'm trying to, again, flip that script, put those shoes on the other foot and say, wait a minute. Does that mean that when you and I are talking about our student ministry to our students and our parents and our volunteers, and it's our top priority, and we're talking to a student, parent, or volunteer who it's not, are we annoying to them?
Maybe you are.
Wow. Right back at me, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sure we have been annoying many times over the years. Which is why it's good to stop now and look back at it and kind of rethink how we've treated people over the years in their less than 100% commitment to the youth ministry. It just changes over time the way that you see things.
Yeah, so putting ourselves in their shoes will help us, I think, communicate better with them. I think it'll help us not be as frustrated.
So, Matthew, I think it's easier now that we're parents of teenagers, have raised some of our kids, you know, and been in that really super busy time of life with sports and school and all that stuff. But for younger youth workers who aren't in that position yet, haven't been down that road yet, you know, how do we help them to see what the situation is like for other families and be able to put themselves in those shoes?
That's a great question, Stephen. If I had the answer to that, I would probably write a book. And make some good money. I it's difficult because I look back again. Most of these things that I'm able to say now, I wasn't able to say 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I was much more frustrated 15 years ago with the parents.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand what it was like to be a parent in that stage of life. I was much more frustrated with students back then because I had never seen it play out in a student's life. Now I have four of my own who sit at home sometimes and wrestle with, I've got this really important swim meet that is like a championship meet, but the youth group's fall retreat is also that weekend.
Right.
And I think it should be a cut and dry decision, but I watch my own child, who's one of their top priorities is student ministry, but yet they're wrestling with that decision. I have a whole new respect for what a student goes through when they have to make decisions about, am I going to the fall retreat or am I going to this thing at school? And I don't know how to help a younger worker do that other than to say, man, you
got to put yourself in other people's shoes and try to understand the situation that they're in. So, you'll be in that position sooner or later, and it'll be easier then. But even now, as a younger youth worker, I think it is possible to just kind of step back and just realize the reality that it's not the top priority of everyone else. And be able to walk in their shoes a little bit.
If you can see it from their perspective, be in their shoes, I think you'll be less frustrated. Now, it won't take all the frustration away.
No.
And it shouldn't, because that helps us to challenge when it's appropriate to challenge.
Absolutely, because part of our purpose is to call people to a greater commitment to Christ.
Yep, absolutely.
We have to do that in the midst of their life as it exists and the reality of it.
Yeah. Another thing that I was thinking about, just what, you know, talking about that example of being a part of the football team. Again, remember I said that guilt came from me, that it's not my top priority. I've never gotten that from them. In fact, I think if you talk to some of the coaches, all they'd probably say is, no, we're just happy when you can be here. Like, we'll take whatever you can give us because you bring something to the team. And I started thinking about that, again, flipping that script into student ministry and started thinking, I think I need to be better. I think maybe we all need to be better at working with what we got as opposed to just being kind of whiny about what we don't have. Yeah. It's easy to sit back and say, like, oh, what that student could do or what God could do in that student's life if they were here every week and if they went on the retreats and they did the missions trip. Oh, man, could you just imagine what God could do? And we just obsess over the fact that they're not here every week and that they're not going on the missions trip because of the whatever reason. And
rather than live in the frustration, the challenge to us as leaders, as youth workers, is to do the best with what we get from people. The time that we get from people, if it's twice a month, if it's once a month, if it's just the retreat only or the summer trip, to take that and make the most and value that and use the time that they've given us to the best that we can.
Yeah, to look at a student and say, you know, we have several students in our group, and this kind of goes back to that whole parent thing, and it goes back to this reality that we can't change. We have several students who are part of broken homes. You know, right. The parents have been divorced, and it was such an ugly divorce that one parent decided to go to church somewhere else. And so you have one. So they come twice a month because they're only with the parent who goes to your church twice a month. And that's frustrating, and it's hard. But to change that perspective to say, what can I pour into this student in the two times a month that they come?
Absolutely.
What does that student bring to our group the two times that they're there, and celebrate that rather than just be frustrated for the two times that they're not there, or whatever the case may be.
And for students, another thing that we need to think about as we deal with what they give us is we want them to be involved in other activities outside of church, right? Isn't that the whole point, to create disciples of Jesus who are out mixing with others outside the church and sharing Jesus with them? So if our whole point is just to get kids to our youth ministry, to the exclusion of all the other activities that they might be involved in, we're not even doing a good job.
We might be counterproductive to the mission.
That's not the point, yeah. Right. So we need to celebrate the students in their other activities as well and just appreciate and approve of those things, even if it sometimes means they're not at our events.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah, and I think with volunteers, as I think about the volunteers, it's the same thing. Like, we have to celebrate what they can bring to the table, not what they can't bring to the table. You know, you get a volunteer who's great, but they're only there half the time because their life is chaos right now. You can be frustrated that, oh man, boy, if they were here, then it would be this. Well, no. What is it that it is when they're there? What do they bring to the table, and how do we best tap into that in the availability that they have in their current circumstances, rather
Absolutely.
Than be frustrated? And I think, honestly, I know over the years that's pushed me to actually recruit more rather than just rely on a small group. I'm forced to go wider, and then you get better people, more people.
It's value added, really. If someone is there and they're at a point in their life where they can't be all in all the time, but they're there on some occasions, they have some relationships. They have some relationship in that room with certain kids that they're bringing value added every time they're there. If they're not there, you don't have that. So take what you get from them, appreciate what they're bringing to the table, and the one conversation, the two relationships, maybe, you know, in their best moments, they could have had 25 effective relationships in the youth group. But take what you can get from them and just appreciate that.
Yep. And it's a tough balance there, because you want to set high expectations.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to have that. And we're not saying that you shouldn't do
that. It's on us to inspire and cast vision and challenge people to step up and, you know, create the kind of ministry that people want to be more invested in.
Right.
But at the same time, we have to realize that not everybody's going to be in that position.
Right. This is something you can't change in student ministry. So, yeah, I like that. I like that phrase, value added. What is the value they add to the ministry?
We also were thinking about how often our response to people in terms of their commitment to the youth ministry isn't always the best.
What do you mean?
Yeah, we often don't give the grace that people deserve. And even with the way that we sometimes say things, we leave people with guilt instead of grace.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Steve.
Yeah, so, I mean, how many of us have had this conversation? Hey, we've really missed you this past month. Where have you been?
Both are true statements. One's a true statement, and one's a valid question.
Yeah.
But it probably matters how you say that.
Yeah.
Because we know the heart in which we're communicating it from, but again, if we flip the script, put those other shoes on. How's that being received?
Right. So clearly we want you to be here because we love you and we care about you and we want you to know Jesus, right? We missed you. We missed you. It's good to be missed. Everybody wants to be missed when they're not there. That's
right.
Good.
But nobody wants to feel guilty that
right.
they weren't there.
Right.
Because it could have been a valid reason. And then their guilt is unwarranted. Even if it wasn't a valid reason, I'm not sure guilt is the factor we want to motivate students with.
That's true. And sometimes the reasons the students aren't there are because they're in some kind of sinful time in their life. I'm sure I've had conversations with kids. I've run into kids outside the church who could barely look me in the eye. I haven't seen them in a couple months, and I know why, because they've been wandering away. I don't want to leave them with guilt. I want to invite them back in.
You want to leave them with grace and warmth, and we miss you.
Can you imagine if Jesus, everybody who kind of encountered him and then didn't immediately drop everything and followed him, what if he had just treated all of them poorly, just dropped guilt on them and just made them feel really bad about not following him?
I think if he did that, I don't think I'd like Jesus very much, because that wouldn't be a very good version.
Yeah, and the truth is only a few people actually did that.
Right.
Right? And he was Jesus. Only a few people dropped everything and followed him, and most of the people were still trying to figure it out along the way.
So for us to really think about how it is that we're communicating with those in whom this is not their top priority, so that
we
communicate
you.
With grace.
Yes. Saying we missed you is good. Saying where have you been, it may be borderline. And then anything that brings even more guilt than that, we probably shouldn't say.
Right. Steve, have you ever posted something on social media with the direct intention to make those who missed whatever you were posting about feel bad that they missed it?
Yeah, I have. In fact,
do you feel good about that?
Oh my gosh. In my interior soul, what I want to do is I want to tag all the people who aren't there. You know, it says tag your friends. I want to tag all the people who aren't there and say, we missed you.
Wow.
Where are you? You're missing out.
This is a dark side, Steve, I've never seen before.
I'm sure you felt the same way, right?
Oh, I have that same dark side, and I want to celebrate our ministry. So those posts are going to happen. If we had a great ugly Christmas sweater party, or if we had a great spring retreat, I want to post about that, and I want people to know a great time was had.
We should, because we should be celebrating, and that draws more people to want to be part of something great that's happening.
And it celebrates those that kind of goes back
Absolutely.
To work with what you got. It celebrates those that did come.
Yeah.
However, we do have to be careful that dark part of our soul doesn't come out the sole purpose of posting that is to make the people who weren't there feel bad. And so
we need a heart check in that moment. Why are we doing this? Why are we posting this picture? What does our caption say expressly? Is it designed to celebrate what's happening? Or is there some part of us that's thinking about the kid who isn't there, who's reading it and feeling really, really bad right
that they missed, that they missed, yeah. So that night you surprise ice cream bar at youth group, and then you post because you want everyone that didn't come to youth group tonight to do their math homework that night to feel bad that they didn't come and get free ice cream.
And the thing is, you could even follow up some of those moments with a personal message to a student. You know, say they missed it because they missed something because they did have a test the next day or whatever. Wouldn't it be better? You post that picture of the event, smiling faces all around, and you send a text to that kid and say, hey, I was praying for you. I hope you do well in Calc tomorrow. You know, that would be a much better response. It might help us not to feel so peeved with people.
It might help that dark side stay deep, deep down. So
youth workers, all of us need to really check our hearts. And it's good to be confessional about it. You know, admit, there's a little part of us that feels this way.
Sure.
You missed out.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? You
it's missed
out.
We can have those conversations among ourselves.
Yeah.
We just can't have those conversations with our students. We can't really have them with our parents. We can't have them with our volunteers unless we're really checked to make sure we're challenging and inviting by casting vision, as opposed to trying to motivate them by feeling bad that they're missing out. Or communicating that I'm personally offended
Right.
that my thing isn't a priority for you, which that gets into a whole other dark thing that I wrestle with sometimes.
The savior complex.
Am I taking it personal that they didn't come to my event? Well, they weren't thinking about me when they decided to go play basketball instead of come to the event, but I can make it about me, and that's really ugly, actually.
I have a picture in my head. Maybe this will be helpful. Just came to me. Imagine everybody who's involved in your ministry, students, parents, and volunteers, okay? And they're all standing shoulder to shoulder, and you are at a point above them looking down, okay? So you see this line of people. Our heart as shepherds, as youth leaders, should be to help all of them move a step forward or a couple steps forward. Some of them are going to move many steps forward quickly. And, you know, we have those great students, those leaders, those parents who are all in and they're doing everything. They're moving forward. And then there's others who are just stragglers and they're taking one small step forward. And you look down on that and you have people all along that path at different points. Our encouragement is to help everybody move a little bit forward. Some won't move as far as others. Some won't be as committed as others. Some it's going to take a long time. Some it may not, they may not move a step for the next 10 years, and then suddenly something that we said or did 10 years earlier will inspire them. Have that long-term perspective, have that grace, and a shepherding heart for people to help them wherever they are, take what they give you, have grace, and encourage them to move forward.
Yeah, that long-term perspective, Steve. That's what it's about. We want this podcast, we want these conversations to be about helping youth workers keep going. We want youth workers still in the game 20, 25, 30, 35 years down the road, and to get bogged down in things that we can't change, get bogged down in frustration or anger or hurt over the fact that it's not a top priority, that can derail us.
Frustration and guilt are what turn people around to leave altogether. And that's not what we want to encourage. We want to have patience for people so that they'll stick with it at some point. Hopefully, they'll begin to move forward spiritually.
Yeah, so hopefully we can flip that script, put the other shoes on and see things from their perspective. Hopefully we can speak with a little more grace and a lot less guilt.
Yeah, I'm going to work on that this week. It's not easy.
And hopefully we can begin to focus and celebrate more on what we have as opposed to what we, you know, what we do not have. Work with what we got.
So our listeners, if you haven't listened to our previous episodes, we're really pretty ticked off at you right now. I don't know what your priorities are.
Come on, get another priority. Go back there and listen.
This is the number one thing in your life right now. Come on.
So hopefully this conversation just helps you put a different perspective on priorities and help deal with one of these parts of student ministry that we just can't change. You can visit our website, youthministrysherpas.com. There'll be show notes up there.
Our Facebook page, maybe share a story that you have or a struggle that you have in this area. Maybe you've said something in the past that you just wish you could take back, that laid guilt on somebody, and just share that with us.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear that story.
Yeah, or share ideas that you've come up with to deal with this reality in student ministry, other ways you've shifted your perspective to not be frustrated, but to move in a more positive direction. We'd love to hear that and all be encouraged by that.
If you could leave us a review on iTunes, we'd appreciate it. Share this podcast with as many people as possible so that more youth workers can be encouraged. Our next episode, we're going to be talking about one of our favorite topics, the awkward kid.
Everybody has them, actually probably has multiples. How do we deal with those awkward kids in our youth ministry? Yeah. Looking forward to that conversation.
It's a fun topic to talk about. So thanks for being with us, Youth Ministry Sherpas. We love you guys. Thanks for being part of what we're trying to do and encourage you.